the BS and get to the news that really matters. Online, 101ESPN.com. You've come to the right place. You're in the Fast Lane. Brought to you by Schnucks on 101 ESPN.
It's Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Chris Ronji and Brad Thompson. I'm Anthony Salter. 401, your time trick is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Let's head to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. We're joined by Andrew Brand, Executive Director, and the Executive VP as well, Veyer Sports, columnist for the MMQB, Business of Sports podcast as well. And Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Good to be with you guys.
It's our pleasure.
Hey, Andrew, we were all struck by a tweet that you had last night in a good way, because, look, I am very, very pro-player. I guess some people are pro-owner when it comes to this. But either way, when it comes to negotiations, there is nobody cares, I guess, at the very least. People are angry. People are upset. But is this just something that we have to know that they're going to go through, right, from Major League Baseball, from the owners to the players, that this is going to be the dance that they are going to have to dance?
Well, it is. And what I'm talking about in my tweets and what I wrote about is Major League Baseball is serving as an example for what may happen with the NFL and other sports. You know, basketball and hockey are getting going again, but really they're just talking about the playoffs. Now we got a full season to deal with baseball. And just for people to understand what's going on here, baseball players thought wrongly, that they had an agreement that if games got going again this year, it'd be prorated. So if now we're talking about half a season, if you're making $6 million, you say, okay, I get it. I'm making $3 million, all good. And now the owners are like, no, you're not making $3 million. You're making a share collectively of what our diminished revenues are going to produce, and we're going to feel the pain just like you are, say the owners. And the owners are looking at, according to reports, somewhere close to 70% diminution of revenues from a normal season. So players are not going to be getting 50%. So what they've done is they've made the high-paid players feel the pain more, and the low-paid players maybe less than a 50% cut, and some of these high-paid players are getting 70 to 75% cuts, like the Mike Trouts and the Clayton Kershaws. And what they've an old management tactic, and I've been on both sides, is kind of divide and conquer. And now we've got a very tense negotiation set up for the next few days to see if we have baseball. But as I said, if we don't have baseball in 2020, this is the unbelievable part of it. It's not going to be due to health and safety.
I want to start from the very beginning on this, because we have heard the same thing that you mentioned, that the players thought they had something in place. The owners leaked an email later saying that, yeah, no, the players' union totally knew what the situation was going to be if no fans were in the building. Where is the miscommunication?
If you heard from the owners, as you said, they said, yeah, prorated if we have full stadiums. You heard from the players, they're like, that wasn't in there. So the bottom line is, it's not going to go to a judge right now. And they're talking about getting this resolved in the next 4 or 5 days. So we can talk about accusations about what was or wasn't agreed to, prorated with fans, prorated without fans. And who knows, maybe we'll have fans in the later part of the season. But this is going to be a resolution, yes or no. And if you had to predict right now, if there was a hard deadline today, we wouldn't have baseball. But, you know my saying from Twitter, deadlines spur action. So if we get close to Monday or Tuesday, I'm sensing something's going to happen with these two sides.
Okay, so from my perspective, I know I'm not alone in this, but I'm not even sure I'm in the majority. As far as what the owners claim to be losing. And you did say that, you know, you cited that 70%. In your experience, how often does it happen that management, that owners manipulate the numbers to make it look like they're worse off than they are?
Well, without casting aspersions to say that exactly, I worked 10 years in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We were the only team in the NFL that had to show our books. And even then, we were allowed to not hide, but be very general about costs and not drill down. So what that tells you is owners of all sports in collective bargaining, when asked to show their books, say no. Absolutely no. No. The answer is no. So you tell me, your listeners tell me what that means. They don't want it shown. So you're right. You say 70% loss, and they say, you know, players say, well, show us your books, and the owners say no. And that's the end of discussion. I've seen it 100 times. It always ends in just a final no. We're not doing that.
Andrew, this one is a non-starter for the union, has been for years, and Tony Clark reiterated as much when the 50-50 split was brought up on a year that there was going to be very little revenue, and a very timely time for Major League Baseball to be so generous. But the idea of a cap and a floor in baseball, and I just want to know from your perspective, because you've worn all the shoes in this game, for the health or in sports in general, for the health of the game, what do you think a cap and a floor would do for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that second part of that phrase, because I rarely get asked that. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
What I mean about the second part is the floor. Because people talk about, oh, wow, you know, no salary cap, spending like crazy, Angels, Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs. But they don't talk about the floor. And here is why sometimes I tell players, you want a salary cap. You want a cap. Because the cap is, you know, some owners are going to spend, and they'll manipulate the cap if they have to. I'm thinking a Jerry Jones or Los Angeles Lakers or L.A. Dodgers. I mean, you know they're going to spend. What you don't know is if Kansas City and Pittsburgh and Tampa and Miami are going to spend. And without a cap, there's no floor. And the floor is important because then you have minimum spending levels. And the gap in baseball of payrolls from $300 million to a team like the Dodgers to less than $100 million for two or three other teams, think about that. These teams are competing. That are $200 million apart in payroll. In football and basketball and hockey, the cap sports, there's no more spread than $20, $30, $40 million between high and low. And we're talking $200 million in baseball. Having said all that, Tony Clark is basically saying, hey, they're trying to impose a cap due to the pandemic, and they can never get a cap through bargaining. And he's right. He's right. But we are in a truly unique time. And the owners are banking on the players wanting to get out there.
Andrew Brand is our guest here in the Fastlane on 101 ESPN, former Packers executive, business of sports podcast. You can follow him at Andrew Brandt on Twitter. Andrew, what do you think the players should negotiate right now? Should they come back with a proposal of their own? And what is something that they should be shooting for after this initial, perhaps insulting, proposal by the owners?
Well, I think you can't just hang your hat on, I'm contradicting myself, because you can't hang your hat on the 70%. You can't trust it. You have to be able to see the books, which they're not going to let you see. Having said that, if these projections to me are based on zero fans, we're seeing modeling around football, at least, that's talking about 20, 30,000 fans in these big stadiums. And if the modeling allows for fans at some level, then there'll be gradations of revenue. And I would say to these teams, like, hey, it's your problem now. You can't just say we're not going to have fans, we're not going to have revenues on game day. What about the cutouts of fans they're doing in Germany Bundesliga? What about tarping and making extra sponsor revenues for that with signs on tarping? What about CGI? What about selling virtual reality? What about all these innovative ideas that you're going to make revenue on, yet you're holding us to a no-revenue situation? So I think smarter minds can get together and say, our salaries will go up if you start making revenues back, which you will if we keep hearing the virus is going to come and the hot weather and all those things. So I think there are ways to get through this.
Andrew, do you think that we're going to have any issues just shifting to football quickly? What hurdles? I know they had their CBA. They got through that. Do you think that there are going to be any big-time hurdles before the season starts for them from a player standpoint?
Well, they've been the luckiest league in relative sense. They can watch and wait and learn from all these other sports and see what happens with the big three T's, the testing, tracing, treatment. And they're in a fortunate position to watch and wait. I think they're going to come to the players, too, with some forecast of a diminution of revenues. It's not going to be 70%. It's going to be a lot less. But I think they're going to hit the players with this. Your cap is going to go down in 2021 because of what happened in 2020. You, union, do you really want that? You don't want that. That's not a good look. So let's bring the cap down in 2020, and it'll look better in 2021 when it's flat or going up rather than going down. Because I don't think you want to be the union that has a lower cap in 2021 than 2020. And without full revenues in 2020, that could be an issue. So I think there are those negotiations ahead for football, maybe not to the extent of baseball.
Is there any other possible hurdle to getting a season going as opposed to just the virus itself maybe coming back and making it impossible?
Well, I mean, how are we going to deal with, I don't know if you're asking the obvious question, but how do you deal with positive cases? I mean, I think I'm getting players reaching out to me because I'm kind of an authoritative voice in the business and saying, what if I don't want to play? You know, what if I don't want to play? I got my parents living with me. I got this, I got that. I got my wife doesn't want me to go. And I say the first thing I ask is, are you okay not getting paid? Because teams aren't going to pay players to say they're not. And they're pushing back, like, why? Why would they make me play in dangerous conditions and not pay me if I don't? So there's questions being asked all around. And what's the plan for positive tests? Because the NBA shut down sports. Their decision to shut down after the one positive test, I think, changed the world. And what's the plan now? I think all these leagues are saying, no, we're not shutting down. We are not shutting down with positive tests. But think about that. You know, you have an offensive lineman. Well, he played next to these offensive linemen. He hit these defensive linemen. He was in the huddle with these quarterbacks. He was in the shower. You can start making those deductions. Wow.
Andrew, great stuff. We really appreciate you coming on, sharing your wisdom with us at Andrew Brandt on Twitter. And hopefully we can reach out to you again. Well, not talk about this stuff, but maybe some actual sports eventually. But thank you.
Yeah, happy to do it, guys.
All right. That's Andrew Brandt here on 101 ESPN. I hate to be so cut and dry. I realize it's a complicated situation, but if you don't play, you don't get paid.
I agree with
that. And if you don't want to play, that's nobody's holding a gun to your head. Don't play.
See you next year.
But I have a hard time, and I know we shouldn't do this, and Ranji, you have made this point clearly, and it's well made. We can't compare the two, but if I don't show up for work, I don't get paid. So I don't... If you feel like it's a health risk, it's well within your rights to not play football, not play baseball, not play hockey, but you're not going to get paid. I mean, to me, I think that's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's the one side I'm on owners with. I mean, in that particular issue, I just don't know if you don't come. It's not vacation days, you know. It's not like that. So if you're deciding, look, this isn't right for me, I think maybe you honor the length of the contract still, but you just consider that 1 year's out.
Right.
Okay. I mean, this is an unusual circumstance. You got a 5-year deal. You're on year two of that deal in 2020. Okay. Year two is wiped out, but you're coming right back for year three.
You're on the restricted list.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yep. All right. Chris Ronji, Brad Thompson, Anthony Stalter. Gauntlet is next in the Fast Lane.